Good morning. Today is Sunday, the 5th of April, and this is the translation of Lucy Berdieu's message. Today, the week begins that leads us to Easter. This week occupies a large place in the Gospels. It is rich in events and in words. What then to choose as the subject? I think today it would be strange to talk about the arrival of Jesus in Jerusalem, of his being acclaimed by a large crowd, a noisy crowd, in the squares and in the streets of that city, while we are in the middle of confinement and the silence in the streets is staggering. I will talk about some events of this so-called Holy Week with the theme, Jesus knew. This applies to the events that Jesus experienced in this week over 2,000 years ago. And this also applies to this week of the year, 2020, which we will live differently than usual because of this COVID-19 epidemic. Jesus knew. God knew in advance. In recent weeks, we have been told about a wave, a tsunami, a war. But a little phrase has come up often, whether from our governments or from doctors and professors when they say, "We don't know." This epidemic forces us to say that we don't know. But God knows. Jesus knew. Jesus goes to Jerusalem, and he knows very well what awaits him there. Many times he has warned his disciples that he will suffer and die. For example, in Matthew chapter 17, verses 22 to 23, we read, "When they came together in Galilee, he said to them, 'The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life.'" Jesus knew everything that was going to happen. During the last meal taken with the disciples, in the evening, just before going to the Garden of Gethsemane, there is this conversation which we read about in Matthew chapter 26, verses 33 to 34. Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Jesus knew. He knows that he will suffer and die and be resurrected. He also knows that Peter will deny him. The evangelist Luke tells us a little more about this conversation. In Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 32, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." Jesus knows all things, and it's reassuring. Even if Peter didn't understand anything at the time, we who read these words, we see there all the love of Jesus for the 12, for Simon when he says, "I prayed for you." The Lord also knew that the COVID-19 trial was going to happen to us. He knew the consequences and the outcome for everyone. He knows that our faith can be put to the test in these circumstances, but he prays for us, just like he prayed for Simon Peter. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8. He talks about the death of Jesus, his resurrection, what Christ is still doing for us now. We read in Romans chapter 8, verses 32 to 34. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life. He is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Jesus knows the trials that await us. Paul continues in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? I think we can add the COVID-19 to this list. This epidemic will not separate us from the love of Christ. He who knew in advance that we would have to go through this, that our faith was going to be tested, he also knows that we can emerge victorious from this situation. He knew it for Peter. Even that he entrusts him with a mission, even before he was going to deny his master. Jesus said to him, "When you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." Jesus sees beyond this moment of Peter's weakness. Jesus knew what would happen next. Still, in Romans 8, Paul, after having spoken of all these trials which can shake us, writes again in verses 37 to 39. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus knows all things. He knows he is going to Jerusalem to suffer and die. He knows that during these hours, Peter will be tempted and deny him. Jesus knows he is going to be resurrected. He knows that Peter will return to him. His faith will be tested, but he will not have failed entirely. Jesus knows this because he prayed for his disciples, and he intercedes for us. And all these biblical texts are there. They were written in advance so that they can support us at this very useful time. Paul writes this to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. God is trustworthy because God knows. He who is the Alpha and the Omega, he knows the beginning of things and their end. Even of this epidemic which affects us. Jesus, knowing well what a week awaited him, remained attentive to his disciples. The words of the Last Supper, which John describes in his Gospel in chapters 13 to 17. These chapters, which so many times have already done us good, give us courage. These things that Jesus said, when he is only a few hours away from suffering and dying. At this moment, he thinks of his disciples, leaving them words like a testament that are capable of carrying us through trials. As we reread these chapters this week, let's keep in mind that Jesus, knowing what was going to happen to him, despite this stress he was enduring, first thought of his disciples, of us. He also promises them the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and he says of the Spirit that he will remind us of all that Jesus said. Let us remember his kind words, that, like Simon, Peter, I prayed for you, and I entrust you with a mission, to remind ourselves at the right moment of everything that is useful to us in the Word of God. So I remembered a text from the prophet Isaiah, from this word of the Lord that the prophet must address to the people of Israel who find themselves threatened by an enemy. Somehow, a bit like us now, another sort of enemy. Isaiah writes in chapter 30, verse 15, "This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. You will be saved only by turning to me and staying calm. Your only strength is to remain calm and put your trust in me. But you don't want to." First of all, I hope that the Lord won't have to say to us, "You didn't want it." He tells them to turn to him and stay calm. It's the only way to be saved. The Israelites did not want it. They left on their great big horses. It's kind of like those who do any sort of thing during confinement. Instead of saying, staying calm and returning to the Lord and trusting in him. Because he knows everything. I said at the beginning of my message, Jesus knew what sort of week lay ahead of him when he entered Jerusalem into that huge crowd. Likewise, our Lord knows what weeks await us in confinement. So it is by rereading everything that happened to Jesus during his week, by rereading all the words during this last evening with his disciples, that we can remain calm and confident and be very close to him. We don't know, but God, our God, knows all things, and he is trustworthy. We read in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen."